having a great time today. I got a lot of new information here to cover with you guys today, a bunch of new information about the Exchange Stabilization Fund that Hagman asked me about on Friday night. Hope you enjoyed the Hagman Show. Hope you got to hear that. We covered a lot of new news. Also, my wife and I did a show last night, which we had a blast. And I want to welcome my co-host. Hey, Austin, how are you doing?
Doing good, bud. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. And I want to read a couple of proverbs to you real quick, because I like to start the show off with the Bible verses. This is good. Proverbs 19:1, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. Number two, Proverbs 2, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. I see this so many times. People read one book on health or nutrition, and they want to change their whole diet based on that one book, and they have the zeal, but they don't have the knowledge. And so you really kind of need to get the knowledge first. And then my final verse today is, I'll do two more. Well, but there's so many good ones here, though. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. And what this means to me, and what I've seen this happen so many times in my life, people make decisions sometimes that are really, really bad. And they ruin their credit, they ruin this, they ruin that, and then they try to go buy a car or buy something else, and all of a sudden they can't get a loan because they have bad credit rating, and now they're mad at God because they don't have a credit rating because they've been believing God for a car, and they can't buy a car, and now they're all angry at God, and they quit going to church, and whatever. I mean, or a man makes a decision at his church. I've seen this too. People give money to a church, and they don't really count their costs of staying, and, you know, they need to have so much money in their savings account or they'll lose their job. And then they go back and they want money back from the church. And I'm not saying you shouldn't tithe, because you should, but you shouldn't spend all your money. I learned this a long, long time ago. There's a bunch of good books. Acres of Diamonds is a real good one too. And The Richest Man in Babylon. And it's the truth. If you save 10% of your money and you at least try to keep at least 6 months to 8 months of money on, you know, saved up in your savings, it goes a lot better for you if you end up losing your job. And I've had people go back and say, I want to get my money back from the church. The church already spent the money. And you can't be doing stuff like that. And you can't get mad at God because you gave money to the church. I mean, I've seen that so many times. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friends deserts him. Yeah, I've seen that too. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free. You know, it's so many good verses in Proverbs. I've read this thing hundreds of times, and I just want to share those with you today. And realize that today is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doug asked me something about the Exchange Stabilization Fund on Friday night. And I told him that I had heard about it, but I really wasn't that familiar with it. Well, I've spent 2 days now getting familiar with it. And it's an interesting part of the, what should I say, the Ponzi scheme that has become the United States of America. Let me give you some little, real, couple real ideal things to do right here. In 1913, we had the Federal Reserve Act. And that gave the Rothschild boys complete control of the printing of the currency in the United States. This is the Federal Reserve Bank that we put in that our forefathers warned us not to do in the Constitution. When we did that, we allowed them to print our money, and we allowed them to press us into war. You can do the whole research on it yourself, on the Lusitania and what happened with all of the folks that wanted the United States to get into World War I to indebt the United States to the Federal Reserve Bank. So we had a huge war debt from World War I. Ironically, the United States did not want to be in World War I because the vast majority, in fact, it was the majority of the people in the United States were from German heritage from the great immigration that had occurred. So we did not have any desire to be in World War I. Well, we ended up getting in World War I, went into debt for it, because remember, we're borrowing all the money with, you know, from the Federal Reserve and war bonds and all the stuff they were doing back then. And what ended up happening is then the Rothschild boys made the money really, really loose, and we had the Roaring Twenties. They kept the interest rates real low, made it really easy credit, and they intentionally did this because they wanted to extract as much wealth out of the United States as they could, because they knew that once you printed the money, and the interest couldn't be paid back because the interest was never in circulation. Let me give you an example. If you borrow $1 million from a country, let's make it easy. If I decided to go down to Grenada and I knew that we could buy the island of Grenada if Warren Buffett decided to go into business with me. Let's use Donald Trump. I like Donald Trump better. So Donald Trump prints $10 billion, you know, of his Donald Trump money, gets the island of Grenada, I borrow the $10 billion, and I start my own infrastructure, start working everything out. 10 years, rule of 72, 7.2% interest. Now I owe him $10 billion in interest. He printed the $10 billion initially. The interest was never printed. The other $10 billion was never printed. I mentioned to you guys last night, get to read the book, Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People by Shelton Emery. It explains that. So the money can never be paid back that we borrow from the Federal Reserve because it's borrowed as a debt, but the interest is never printed. So even if you pay them all of the money back, you still owe them the $10 billion, right? That's how it works. So then in 1929, the Federal Reserve Bank contracted the M1 money supply after it warned its top people that it was doing that, and they pulled out of the market, which made the money completely collapse because it was all being done on margins, and basically they were betting on the market, and it completely destroyed the United States. It took them about 4 years to crush the people of the United States. And by 1933, June the 5th, Austin, you may not even know this, June the 5th, 1933, the United States government declared bankruptcy through House Joint Resolution 192. The United States was completely and totally insolvent and was bankrupt. The United States was then handed over to the creditors, which were the Rothschild banking cartels, all the different banks. And then they've been running the government pretty much de facto since then. And then what happened, which is really interesting with this, is that 1934, in Roosevelt had passed the Executive Order 6102, no hoarding of gold, in 1933. And in 1934, the Gold Reserve Act was passed. And they forced everybody to give up the gold at $20 an ounce, $20.67. And then they immediately reevaluated the gold at $35 an ounce, which pretty much whacked about 40% of the people's money right off the spot. And so they had a 40% drop in the currency value immediately, which means that was just monetizing the debt. Also, at the same time, the U.S. Exchange Stabilization Fund was started and established by the U.S. Treasury, which, by the way, now was under control by the Federal Reserve Bank. So the Federal Reserve Bank at that point in time pretty much became the head of the Treasury. Now, whether you want to believe that or not, that's kind of what happened, because the Fed became the Exchange Stabilization Fund. And what happened is they were trying to fund all of the different shenanigans they were doing with the government, and they set up a black ops program in which they would use money that was brought in from drugs and other types of different types of criminal activities, also in different black ops projects, and they would fund this Exchange Stabilization Fund, and it's been going on ever since. So this U.S. Exchange Stabilization Fund, which supposedly still has the Treasury as the head of it, has been controlled by the Rothschild Banking Corporation since 1934. That's when it changed. Before that, the head of the Treasury was pretty much the head of the Fed, and all of that changed from a de facto standpoint. So in 1934, it was just a full-blown, we were the debtors, they were the masters, we were the slaves, etc. This is what happened. This is also when, according to some historians, that the United States population started to receive birth certificates, and we were pledged against the debt of the United States as a bond slave. Now, I've read a lot about that. That doesn't surprise me at all if that's true. I haven't seen the documentation on that yet. I haven't done a lot of research on it. I probably will now. So what happened is all the money that was coming in from the black ops went in to fund this, the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services in World War II, through this exchange, this Exchange Stabilization Fund. And then what happened is we didn't have enough money in that, so the CIA, which had become the CIA from the OSS, went to Chiang Kai-shek in China. Wonder how he's funding his troops. He said it was through opium. He was feeding the people. That's how he's paying all the meals and all the food for all of the troops and all the soldiers. And so we started running drugs. The drugs were then brought into the Exchange Stabilization Fund, the money from those, to fund the entire black ops. This is the shadow government that you've heard about so much. This is it. It's the Exchange Stabilization Fund run by the Rothschild Banking Cartel and Goldman Sachs. And these are the guys that have run all the drugs. Almost $1 trillion a year now come in from Afghanistan. They have entire factories there producing opium, taking opium, putting it into heroin, bringing it into the United States. That's why we have so many children now getting addicted to these hardcore drugs, because it's coming in like a pipeline. In 2001, the Taliban had taken back over Afghanistan, a shutdown, and started burning all of the poppy fields. And there was a major, major, major dry up of opium in the world. And we had like a 500 or 600% increase in the cost of opium. And it really shut down the amount of money flowing into this black ops fund. And so what happened is, that's when 9/11 happened. And we immediately went in and started taking back over Afghanistan and starting to put our poppy fields back in place. That's how it all worked. And we had a huge increase in poppy. And then the poppy now is at all-time highs out of Afghanistan. And it's being run through Turkey, through the government of Turkey, who was the president of Turkey, was a former member, former employee of Goldman Sachs. We put him in with the CIA. They're running the drugs into Turkey, distributing the air bases in Europe, bringing them back into the United States to operate at the fund, the U.S. Exchange Stabilization Fund. This is what's happening here. This has been going on now, gosh, 70, 80 years. And it's a giant, giant Ponzi scheme mess. And whenever they start running out of money, they just overthrow another government. They steal their gold. Or if someone decides they want to start using other than the petrodollar, because that restabilized it in the 70s, if they want to use something other than the petrodollar, because remember, with Bretton Woods, we became the reserve currency of the world. But then the petrodollar allowed us to continue to do what we were doing without having the gold to back it up, because we had a huge run on gold reserves back in this late 60s, and Nixon took us off the gold standard. All of this black ops mess, all of this shadow government, is going on right now. In fact, there's a five-part series online. You can watch this. It goes into a lot of detail with this. The only problem is this guy's granddaddy was one of the original members of the Federal Reserve who met at Jekyll Island. So he's still trying to justify the Federal Reserve as good, and he doesn't want to admit what these guys are and who they are, and he doesn't want to get into the whole Satan aspect of these guys, of how they're basically trying to turn the world upside down and subject all of us into slavery. So I'm going to do more and more research on this until I can put together a full-hour presentation on it. And I'll do it on the next Hagman show. And you guys are going to be blessed by that. Again, it's very difficult for me to go into detail with it on my show, because my show is only an hour long. And Hagman's show may spill over to an hour and a half or 2 hours of this. This is actually the final pieces of the puzzle of how they did it. And I know, Austin, you probably didn't know about all that either. But this is what they did.
No, I didn't realize all that. I know, as far as, you know, the research that I've done, when I started seeing the reports that, you know, Gaddafi over in Libya had over $7 billion in gold reserves, and he was planning on basically bringing in his own gold-backed currency to the northern Africa countries and trading in gold instead of the petrodollar. The CIA immediately started running heavy weapons to the militias there and basically overthrew Gaddafi. Essentially, that's the tail end of what you're seeing in that movie, 13 Hours. That's why I did a lot of research before and after I saw that movie, because I wanted to see what it really tied into. And you're exactly right. Every time a country over there starts becoming self-sufficient with large quantities of gold and basically wants to cut out the Federal Reserve and everything they do, we immediately find some excuse to overthrow them and then attack them and instill a democracy so that we can teach everybody how to be free over there, which is a complete and total joke. I mean, I don't understand the whole concept that let's bomb a country to rubble, let's send in our troops to shoot more people, and then we'll go ahead and make sure we teach everybody how to be free and live in a democracy in a part of the country that's never even seen any type of political structure like that in its entire life. It's just smokescreen. That's all it is.
But let me give you a little background on this, because this is actually these are the tumblers that fall into place. The U.S. Exchange Stabilization Fund was established by the Treasury Department by a provision of the Gold Reserve Act on January 31st, 1934. Remember, the United States had filed bankruptcy 6 months earlier when the Rothschild banking cartel was the creditor, right? And so at this point in time, the United States government is being run by the Rothschild completely. It was intended as a response. This is from Wikipedia. This part's a lie. It was intended as a response to Britain's exchange equalization account. This is a complete lie, because the Rothschilds also control the Bank of England, okay? They don't have to do that. The fund began operations in April 1934, financed by $2 billion of the $2.8 billion paper profit the government realized from changing the price of gold. In other words, when they stole the gold from the American population, they funded the Exchange Stabilization Fund with billions and billions of 1933 dollar. The act itself, the act authorizing the fund to use its capital to deal in gold and foreign exchange to stabilize the exact value of the dollar, which it does do that. The ESF, as originally designed, was part of the executive branch, not subject to legislative oversight. So in other words, it's part of the Federal Reserve System. It is part of the executive branch. Supposedly, it's even beyond that. It's the same as the Federal Reserve, Austin. It is not subject to any legislative oversight. The Gold Reserve Act authorized the ESF to use such assets as were needed for the exchange market stabilization to deal in government securities. This whole thing is so corrupt and so sick and so twisted that it's almost hard for me to believe how it continues like this. It just, you know, but remember, when the Fed was first organized, the Secretary of the Treasury was kind of like a de facto chairman of the board of the Federal Reserve, but not really, with a second seat occupied by the director of the Office of the Comptroller of Currency. However, early on, it was apparent there was going to be a lot of political pressure on the Fed. So beginning in 1935, when this all happened, laws were passed to provide some level of independence for the Fed to be able to do anything it wanted to do with no political pressure. I think that's just great. And so, but here's some of the stuff that we have as far as Goldman Sachs and the federal government. Robert Rubin used to be head of Goldman Sachs. He's now Treasury Secretary with Clinton. Now, John Corzine, CEO of Goldman Sachs, he's basically working with the federal government. Henry Paulson, CEO of Goldman Sachs, he's also been working with the government. He was Treasury Secretary. Rahm Emanuel, Robert Hormats, Stephen Friedman, Diane Farrell, Philip Murphy, Mark Patterson, Adam Storch, Alexander Leary. The list just goes on and on and on of people from the Goldman Sachs Corporation, Austin, this giant vampire squid that now run and operate the federal government. It's unbelievable. And it's all because of this gold stabilization fund that was started in 1934 in the bankruptcy of the United States. Now, because also remember, in 1933 is when Prescott Bush tried to stage a hostile coup of the United States of America with Smedley Butler to try to take over and install a fascist dictatorship. I can't imagine what it must have been like in Washington with all of this stuff going on at once, because I guess the Bush boys decided they didn't want the Federal Reserve Bank coming in and taking over the country like this, which is what they've done since 1933-34. So that's just the first part of this story. We're going to continue talking about this later on and go into more detail and I'll tell you who actually pulls the strings. In fact, if you read Confessions of an Economic Hitman, he'll go into detail with a lot of the stuff. This is a guy by the name of Perkins, and I was going to interview him one time on the Power Hour, and then Joyce and I do that show herself, because I really would have liked to have talked to him. But anyhow, oh, by the way, on Wednesday's show, I will be bringing John Rappaport in. He will be talking about this head shrinking mosquito bite thing that's complete the scam. And by the way, just a little heads up on that one real quick. One of the side effects of glyphosate poisoning is children who are born with small heads. Isn't that interesting, Austin?
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about all of that on Wednesday. All right, Austin, what's your first story?
Well, first one, this is pretty interesting. Most everybody has heard about the Common Core education system now, this complete and total abysmal failure that we've seen. And Donald Trump basically posted on it this week. He stated that it's a disaster. He said, we need to make sure we cannot have the bureaucrats in Washington tell us how to manage your children's education. He said, Common Core is a total disaster. We can't let it continue. We are rated 28 in the world in the United States. 28 in the world, and frankly, we spend more per pupil than any other country in the world, and it's not even a close second. So here we are, we spend more money, we're rated 28, third world countries are ahead of us, we're going to end Common Core, we're going to have an education as an absolute priority if he gets into office. So he's basically stating that the Common Core is a failure, which we already knew that, but most of the liberals always want to try and come up with some excuse, but more the Common Core, what people don't understand, isn't it just being a failure? Actually quite successful from a brainwashing aspect as far as getting kids taught and indoctrinated the way you want them to be taught. That's what it's all based on. Regardless, it's complete and total just nuisance, in my opinion, and I'll be very, very happy if they bring that out of the public school system if Donald Trump gets in there. Another article, too, that just came out, this is kind of sad, for fear of sexual assaults now, the Cologne High School for Girls Only will be closed for because of the security to the carnival. Apparently there's a carnival they're having over there. He said, we do not want to bring girls into danger, and we want to avoid the girls away from the school. So they're shutting down the entire school because of the carnival, because it could be on the next migrants army list. How sad is that?
You know, the problem is, while we have this giant vampire squid of Goldman Sachs sucking the lifeblood out of the United States and the rest of the world because of sheer greed and because of Satanism and trying to destroy everything, you know, Germany now has found itself right in the crosshairs of this mess. We're next. I mean, they're bringing them in by the plane load here, Austin, these jihadists. They're bringing them in by the plane load.
Oh, yeah.
The only difference that we have with Germany is Germany's about the size of Texas, and it's a small country. And so, you know, we have the ability to diversify and to differentiate and to spread this junk out all over the place, which is going to make it more difficult. And that's why they've broken this into FEMA districts, because that way they can declare martial law in one specific FEMA district and break, not even have state governments anymore. So it's getting interesting. It really is getting interesting. But again, this is the Rothschild cartel. This is what they do. This is who's doing this. It's all about dumbing us down. It's about putting the poison in the water, putting the lead in the water, putting the fluoride in the water, putting the fluoride in the bottled water. I mean, God, after that thing you talked about on Friday, Austin, I talked about it on Friday night again, and I also talked about it with Sharon yesterday. I mean, guys, if you don't have a distiller yet, you need to get a distiller. The show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. We sell the highest quality distillers in the world. It distills water. It makes it so you don't have any lead in the water, no aluminum in the water, no fluoride in the water, no chemicals in the water, no pesticides in the water, just water. That's all it is. It even has a stainless steel condensing coil so you don't get contaminated from the condensing coil. And the condensing coil has tiny little holes in it to allow volatile gas to escape from the condensing coil so that you don't have to worry about there's something in there, like a trihalomethane from the chlorine and some type of organic compound. It escapes and doesn't go into the water again and reconstitutes. So highest quality distillers in the world, healthmasters.com. Thank you so much for your support. The first story I want to talk about is Maryland High School punishes a Christian student for refusing to profess her faith in Islam, threatens to arrest her father for making a stink about it. This is by Waleed Shubat. A public high school has been accused of radical Islamic indoctrination by forcing non-Muslim children to profess the Muslim statement of faith, the same faith used to convert people to Islam, ordering them to memorize the five pillars of Islam, and teaching that the faith of a Muslim is stronger than the average Christian, according to a federal lawsuit just filed. Unbelievable.
Wow.
The Maryland High School punished a student for refusing to profess her faith in Islam, gave her a failing grade for a series of assignments that violated her Christian beliefs, and then threatened her father with arrest for complaining, a federal lawsuit charges. You know, this to me, I don't even know what to say about this, Austin. It's just, you know, I don't even know what to say. It's just that, you know, I can't believe that people are doing this and teachers are doing this. But again, this is this complete political correct crap run amok. And so here's what I have to say. It just came to me. These people that have indoctrinated us with this political correct nonsense, which allows stuff like this to happen, because they so hate Christianity because of the teachings of Jesus Christ, and because these Satanists are scared of him, of Jesus, because they know he's a real person, that they allow this attack on Christianity like this. All of this goes back to the Luciferian Rothschild cabal that's running the planet with all of their central banks, and who sacrifice human beings to Lucifer, who run the whole mess out there at Bohemian Grove, who are involved in all of this mess. And we need to realize that we've got a major, major problem in the United States when Christian students are failed for refusing to profess faith in Islam. And it'll be an interesting day when these women and these people that have done this come under the sword of Islam, and they have to do the same thing themselves, or they'll be beheaded. It's going to be interesting, because there's no political correctness with Islam. They don't do that. So that's why they do this, because they're not going to listen to it, because their faith in their God, in Allah, is much stronger than most Christians' faith is in our God, Yahweh. And that's the truth, Austin. I mean, these guys are praying five times. These guys are praying five times a day. These are radical zealots. A lot of them are jihadists. They're willing to die for what they believe. In Christianity, I'm afraid all they want to do is have, you know, a couch to watch TV on at night and drink their beer and eat some Doritos and load up on MSG and put themselves into an alpha brainwave state while they're drooling on themselves watching TV, and they never want to think about being persecuted as a Christian or not having everything they thought they needed in this country. Because remember, the only reason we've had the massive, massive prosperity in the last 60, 70 years in the United States is because of this exchange stabilization fund. In addition to that, it's one of the most corrupt organizations in the world, and it's used the IMF and the International Monetary Fund to totally indebt other countries all over the world. They actually print. This is interesting. There are hundreds of billions of dollars of money in other countries, Austin, that apparently were printed on a perfect press, but there are a few things that are wrong with the money, but you can't tell. Only the machines that you run the money to can tell. And then they did this on purpose too, so they have their other types of dollars for people to spend in other parts of the world that could not be brought back into the United States to inflate the currency here. And the reason I started looking into this, over $1 trillion in U.S. bonds was bought back this past year and a half, and nobody knows where the bonds went, and they went into this black ops budget of this currency exchange, this stabilization fund, and that's why they're all in off-book balance sheets again. So if you thought it was corrupt, it's way past that. Wait until I do the show with us on Hagman. It's going to be huge. What's your next story, Oz?
That's crazy. Well, we're seeing a issue now from what is being reported. Now, I don't know if this is completely accurate or not, but, I mean, from what I've read in the past, it seems like it's pretty plausible. They're saying that human traffickers now are taking advantage of the European refugee crisis to find sex and labor slaves. Europol says the EU police chief of staff told the Observer that some 10,000 minors have now gone on the record of gone missing since crossing into the EU. He said at least 5,000 have gone missing in Italy and another 1,000 have vanished in Sweden. He says the EU-wide criminal infrastructure could be specifically targeting refugee children. There is already evidence of sexual exploitation, especially in Germany and Hungary. An entire criminal infrastructure has actually developed over the past 18 months exploiting the migrant flow. And apparently, I won't read the whole article. There's a bunch of crazy stuff in here. But apparently, if this is accurate, what they're using is examples of this. They're taking these kids that are coming in, and they're basically taking them off to go be slaves. And nobody knows where they're disappearing to, because apparently a lot of these kids are coming in unoccupied. Now, again, I don't know how accurate this is, but it seems like if you're into that type of sick stuff, this would be a perfect opportunity to you, sad as that is.
Well, this has been going on in the United States for years. I mean, we have, you know, Ted Gunner said we have 700,000 kids a year. You see, a lot of these kids are not being used as sex slaves, Austin. They're being used as sacrifice. And again, it goes back to what they do with their Luciferian practices and how they try to control the attention field on the planet and the energy of the hologram that we're in. And it's so perverted and so sick and so twisted. They really believe that Lucifer gives them all of this power if they sacrifice these children to him. And it's unbelievable to me. I mean, even in Bohemian Grove, they still sacrifice supposedly a human being in effigy. Now, whether it's a real person or not, who in the world knows? We don't know. We don't know who's wrapped up in those bandages. I mean, we don't know what's going on with all that. But the sad part about all of this, son, is that the vast majority of the Christians and the churches are sleeping through all of this, and they have no idea what's going on. Here's another interesting thing. This is out of Phoenix, Arizona. The Satanists are going to take over the Phoenix City Council. Attorney Brad Holmes says that the government cannot exclude religious, even Satanists, from hosting religious ceremonies ahead of meetings. So the Satanists are going to do the public invocation on February the 17th in a few weeks for the Phoenix City Council before they meet. So if you guys thought we were joking about this stuff, look it up. And the sad part about it is, Austin, the vast majority of the people in America will just yawn and go, so what? Who cares? They're just a bunch of kooks anyhow. I got a newsflash for you. These kooks are running the planet. And these kooks don't think they're kooks. These kooks think it's all real. You may think it's all joke. They don't think it's a joke. They're willing to die for it. What's your next story?
Next one, this is interesting. You know, the Obama administration, they would never publicly admit that this is happening, but it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. That basically, they're starting to push the refugee resettlement now in small communities in the United States. We've already started to see that in certain areas in Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, Kansas. The Obama administration has already gone on record and deemed large cities such as Washington, D.C. to be too expensive for refugees coming into the United States, so large numbers of them are being dispersed through smaller communities all over the nation. A few hundred refugees in a small town that only has a few thousand people living, you can start to basically have some issues there, and you can also change the entire character of the whole area. People don't understand that. I mean, even Auburndale here, I think our overall population in Auburndale, I think last time I checked, is around 7,000, if that, and maybe 5,000. It's somewhere in between there. So, I mean, you start seeing a influx of 400 or 500 refugees in Auburndale, you wouldn't see a huge difference at first. You give it 5 to 10 years to where they start having children, and those children that were with them on the way in start having children, and all of a sudden you take it from 500 to 700 to 1,000. Well, dang, now all of a sudden you got an eighth of our population is full-blown, you know, basically Sharia law Muslim. They start having an impact. Now rural folks in Montana are basically having a rally. They had it this morning at 10 a.m. Down in Missoula, because they're wanting to bring in apparently hundreds and hundreds of refugees into the small town up there towards above Missoula and also by Helena, and these guys are massively protesting it, which is good. But my thing is, these liberals want to bring in tens of thousands of people. Why don't they bring them into their own town? They're the ones that want to bring them in here. They're the ones that want to use our taxpayer dollars to bring them in here. They want to bring them in. Okay. Bring them into your own town. Bring them into your neighborhood. Heck, if you're so generous, bring them into your own home. If you want it done, take care of it yourself. Don't try and pawn it off on little small towns across the U.S. that aren't trying to bother anybody. It's ridiculous.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the sad part about it is, it's Cloward Piven, son. Remember the Cloward Piven strategy. All of this is being promulgated through the Rothschild banking cartel. See, this is what they do. This is the same group of people that caused the Russian Revolution. Same group. They're the same people that killed Tsar Nicholas and his family, assassinated and killed all of them. They're the same people that did the thing in the Weimar Republic and indebted the people in Germany. This is why the German leadership so hated the international banking cartels, because of what they did in Germany and what they did with Tsar Nicholas. I mean, this goes on and on and on into nauseam. And they run the whole stinking planet now, because they control almost every single country through the Federal Reserve Banks. That's why saying that they set up the Exchange Stabilization Fund to control the currency stabilization against England is nonsense, because they control the English currency. The Rothschild Bank is England. They took it over with the Napoleonic Wars. I mean, it's ridiculous they do this. Here's another interesting article. This is from the Washington Post. This is complete and total obfuscation crap. Excuse the language for you Christians who get offended when I say crap, but it is crap. And so, oh well, you know, it's so funny. Christians will sit there and let babies be aborted, Austin, not say anything. Let babies be sold after they've been aborted while they're still living. Have their throats cut and not say anything. They'll do all kinds of stuff, and if I say crap on the show, they get mad. So, oh well, that's just... look, guys, I'm an alpha male. I got saved when I was 23 years old in 1979. I was raised in a bar. So to me, crap's a very moderate word that I very rarely use, only when I get really disgusted when I'm doing a talk show, because I don't really know what else to say. Because sometimes when you try to explain people how things really work and you try to use big words, it's like, I'm very disappointed with the behavioral pattern of this person, nobody gets that. So you say, this is just crap, that's the way it is. So there you go. So if you don't like it, I can't help you with that. I'm not going to apologize for saying crap. The U.S. was supposed to leave Afghanistan by 2017. Now it might take decades. This is crap. Okay. The reason this is crap, we're never leaving Afghanistan. We bring in we have entire factories there. We've put in roads and infrastructure. Our troops are guarding the poppy fields. This is why that one man who went into the Marine Corps a few years ago, that one, football player, the NFL guy, Austin, he was going to come home and blow the whistle on this, and they shot him in the back of the head. He's going to expose this. Here's what this article says. Top U.S. military commanders who were only a few months ago were planning to pull the last American troops out of Afghanistan. Duh, lie. By year's end are now quietly talking about an American commitment to keep thousands of troops in the country for decades. Yes, true. The new American outlook makes a striking change for Obama. No, it doesn't. Who campaigned on a promise to bring American troops. He lied and has said repeatedly he does not support the idea of endless war. Lie. And it highlights a major shift for the American military. Lie. Which has spent much of the past decade racing to hit milestones as part of the broader exit strategy. Lie. From exit. Lie. These days, that phrase has largely disappeared from the military's lexicon. True. In its place, there's a broad recognition in the Pentagon that building an effective Afghan army and police force will take generational commitments. Yes, it will, because the poppy seeds have to continually be replanted, including billions of dollars in outside funding, yes, to pay the troops, and constant support from thousands of foreign advisors on the ground, live. Well, the foreign advisors are probably teaching them how to grow opium. That's the foreign advisors. There are now 9,800 troops in Afghanistan. Plans call for Obama to have half that force by the time he leaves office, lie, but he could alter the decision to be the next president. This whole thing from the Washington Post is complete and total garbage, okay? It's garbage. Only a couple sentences in there were true. They have no intentions on getting out of Afghanistan. When they got out of Afghanistan, you know, in 2001, when they were driven out with their poppy fields, the heroin supply dried up, the funding for this exchange stabilization fund dried up, the black ops funding dried up. They can't do that. They're addicted to the $1 trillion a year in income, and if they could sell you heroin and sell your children, Harrison, and my children, heroin for $10 a hit, they're going to do it because that's what they want to do. Because number one, they want everybody addicted. They want everybody in the country stupid on fluoride, on drugs, on opiates, on all kinds of other stuff. They don't care. They don't want you thinking. They want you sitting in front of that TV and completely being in an alpha brainwave state. Last night, Austin, you don't even know this. I had a story up on an iPad and it started flashing, 60 cycle flashes real fast, and I was trying to look at it and talk. It so disoriented me, Austin, I had to turn my iPad around. It happened last night on last night's show with you, Ram. Yes, that's what they're doing. That's my brain's not used to that. It doesn't like that. And so, because I don't watch that kind of junk. That's what the LED TVs are for. That's what the high-def TVs are for. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Remember, I've got a friend of mine. I mentioned this last night. Their son is now on LSD. LSD was developed by the stinking Nazis in the concentration camps for mind control. It was continually used throughout the 40s, 50s, and 60s through MK Ultra in the United States, which was a continuation of the research being done in the Nazi concentration camps by the CIA for mind control. This is what they used it for. And I sent a letter to these folks today. I sent them a bunch of links on LSD, and I said, look, guys, this is introduced in the college campuses in the 60s by Timothy O'Leary. I said, this whole thing is just a nightmare. It's a brain entrainment chemical that basically destroys young minds. You don't need to be taking LSD. And I told my friends, Austin, if your son's willing to take LSD, he'll take anything.
Yes, that's an incredibly accurate statement. And the problem is what we're seeing now is the more and more normalization of heavy and heavy drugs through the media and the music industry. Remember back in the 90s when a lot of the more gutter rap music, hip-hop, started to come out, it started normalizing marijuana usage. It was always more, it was kind of glamorized as a lot of the hip-hop stars were very wealthy from the music industry and they were still continuing to drink large amounts of alcohol and consume marijuana. Well, then it started to get further and further to where the hip-hop was about the drug industry and everything else. Now with the media and the movies, we have movies like Breaking Bad where it glamorizes methamphetamine production and sales very clearly. The movie, I've seen a lot of the shows, it's very, very direct about it. I didn't try and hide anything. But now they have Breaking Bad toy dolls and different kinds of stuff like that. So, yes, what they're doing is they're getting the entire younger population right now be completely accepted to heavy, heavy drug use. LSD, otherwise known on the street as acid, is an incredibly harsh compound on the brain. If you're willing to take acid and go through an acid trip, using cocaine, using methamphetamines, using heroin is not going to be that far away out of your basically behavior repertoire, as you like to say a lot, Dad. That is very, very true. So that saddens me to hear that he's involved in that, but it does not surprise me with the current state of the youth in the school systems and how they are handling themselves now.
Here's another one that you like from the Washington Post, the liberal rag. Another one that's, again, complete obfuscation. I hope you guys don't mind me reading these lies to you and telling you they're lies. I'm just going to tell you they're lies. Obama bans solitary confinement for juveniles in federal prisons, January 26, 2016, Washington Post. Okay. President Obama on Monday announced a ban on solitary confinement for juvenile offenders in the federal prison system, saying that the practice is overused and has the potential for devastating psychological consequences. Okay, here's the problem with all of this, okay? A lot of these juveniles request solitary confinement so they're not going to be gang raped.
Yes.
They don't want to be homosexuals. They don't want to come out of this system as a juvenile offender as a full-blown gay. They don't want that. They're hiding in solitary confinement. Obama is massively pro-gay. A lot of people have said he is a homosexual, including people online. On and on and on, plus his rampant drug use as a child. I mean, it's all very documented online. You can watch the videos, hear the stories of his high school friends who he did dope with, who say that he is a homosexual. Now, whether he is or not, I have no idea. But what better place to take a juvenile in a federal prison and put him in with a bunch of homosexual men? What a mess.
Yeah, it's definitely... there's a new article that I found here with American Doll, and their dolls now. This is interesting. American Doll prides itself on providing dolls that mirror their young clientele. And I did a little bit of numbers on it, and in 2013, American Dolls, their net sales was just right at, I think, $7 billion per year. Their advertising and promotional expense was $750 million in 2013 alone. This is interesting now. And instead of treating diabetes as an illness that can generally be avoided, American Girls has now embraced it in open arms by offering a diabetic care kit for dolls. The $24 kit is available online as well as the company's retail stores. The kit includes an insulin pump, a glucose meter, Lansing device, insulin pen, glucose tablets, medical alert bracelet, insulin pump skin stickers, diabetes logbook, and a bag. Now, I don't know what's worse, is the fact that people are actually buying this or that American Doll is actually manufacturing this, because quite frankly, where does it stop with this? I mean, if we're trying to have diversity and we're trying to encourage healthy behavior, why don't we offer a health food kit, or better yet, an anti-diabetic kit that includes, you know, non-GMO chicken and broccoli in a little Tupperware and a cooler that they can carry around with their dolls, maybe with a bottle of water in a non-GMO bottle and a vitamin pack? That seems like something that would be pretty cool and reasonable to promote with these American Doll girls, not an insulin diabetic care kit. Are you kidding me? Are we that normalized with diabetes now that our 12- and 13-year-old kids need to start buying diabetic care kits for their dolls? I mean, I remember when I had the G.I. Joes, just you buy a trauma kit for the little ones on it when I was a kid, and machine guns. That was it. That's all you needed. Trauma kit, machine guns. That was it. But, I mean, diabetic care kits for American Doll, and I mean, it's not even like it's a, you know, it got a, I mean, it's all this stuff. It's an entire thing, including the insulin pen and the Lansing device. Are you joking me? I mean, where does it stop here? What, the next one, are they going to offer them a recreational weekend drug user pack full of LSD and methamphetamines and coke in a little brown bag? I mean, where does it stop with this now as far as what they try and promote with these kids? It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what's interesting about this is they're probably doing that because there's a marketing need for that, or they wouldn't be doing it, son, because there's so many kids coming down with juvenile diabetes now because of epigenetics and the contamination of the food supply.
Yeah.
And everything that's going on is causing, we have a huge rush now, outbreak of juvenile diabetes, not to mention the adult onset diabetes. So they're probably finding these girls that are coming down with diabetes, and now they want to have a care kit so they can pretend like they're giving their doll the insulin instead of themselves. This whole thing is just twisted, dude. And the problem is, it's all about destroying the DNA and destroying the immune system. Here's another article. If you don't believe that, here's the other article. This is from Ethan Huff. It goes, a group of scientists gave a standing ovation for the plan to kill 90% of the human population with militarized airborne Ebola. This is from Natural News. Some clues about the origins of the latest Ebola outbreak may be found in the contents of a speech given at the 109th meeting of the Texas Academy of Science back in 2006. Professor Eric Pianca reportedly told his audience that the best way to kill off 90% of the human population would be to spread an airborne version of the Ebola virus, to which he received an enthusiastic standing ovation. Remember what the Bible says. What he said is what's going to be good is going to be bad, and bad is going to be good. And this is exactly what the Luciferians want to do, Austin. They want to make sure they're able to take everybody and turn them upside down and destroy the very creation that God made. It's absolutely insanity, but that's what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing. I mean, wow. Well, this is when we see more and more issues with vaccines, even though I don't understand why people are continuing to, that have a choice, continue to take them now. As many as 15 students at the Northampton School for Boys collapsed on the floor today following a series of vaccines resulted in severe adverse side effects. Several different vaccines were being administered, and around 15 boys kneeled over and the paramedics were called. Children were also witnessed on their backs on the floor with their legs up on chairs. The rest of the jabs were canceled, and a letter was sent home to the parents of the pupils who had been given the shots about what to do if they had felt worse. Rumors say that there may have been a bad batch of vaccines. Okay. At least one child was sent to the emergency room as a precaution. The letter that they sent out to parents said that unforeseen circumstances caused the complication and advised parents to monitor their children's health, specifically looking for signs of severe dizziness, nausea, vomiting, or skin rashes. This is insane. I mean, it gets more and more bizarre with these vaccines and the fact that people are continuing to allow themselves to be shot up with them. When they said that, that's why I laughed when you said the comment, they've been a batch of bad vaccines. My response is, generally about 98% of vaccines are bad. Unless you're taking something specifically that you need and you're getting it thimerosal aluminum-free and it's a clear, solid ampule that contains no bacteria, no extra compounds, you know the pharmacy that compounded it, and you're taking it for a specific reason, that's the only reason I would take any more vaccines in my life, period. This right here just goes to show you, you have no idea what they're shoving in your shoulder whenever they shoot you up with this garbage.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. It's just unbelievable. It's so crazy to me that we have these conversations and these people are dying from these vaccines, but it's okay. Because, you know, you got to be the sheeple and you got to lay down and you got to go, bah! That's what you got to do. Okay. So the craziest stuff is this, is that we think this is okay as a society, that 1 in 58 is okay in autism now, which is probably high started as well, low as high as 1 in 40. I mean, are you kidding me? This is insanity. Any part of this is insanity. Eating food like corn that's GMO and soybeans that are GMO and chemicals and fluoride, it's all insanity. I mean, you guys listen to this show every day. Thank you, by the way, for listening. I don't know how to make it any more clear. I don't know how to make it any more convincing that you can't do this. You've got to be taking high quality supplements. And I'm not saying if you were living on an organic farm, and you were growing your own food with heirloom seeds, and you were using proper compost techniques, and you were storing your own food, doing everything you're going to do, growing it all yourself, and eating 3 or 4 high-quality organic meals a day like that, you know, in high-quality soil with all the minerals still intact, you don't need vitamins. I'm not going to tell you that you do because you don't. We don't do that. Nobody does that. I mean, the soil is so contaminated. On top of that, the soil is so poisoned now from the aluminum, the barium, and the strontium that they're spraying on us. Because remember, these guys have to cover their own tracks. They don't want people to realize what they've been doing. This Rothschild cartel is what they've been doing. They don't want us to take them out back and hang them. They don't want that, okay, for treason. They don't want that. They want to make sure that they destroy us on a slow cook, on a slow kill. That way we can't turn around and try to indict them or put them in jail or try to take the power back, Austin. And plus, remember this, they're so embedded now, the only thing we're going to do to stop this is a revival, a return to Jesus Christ, a return to the first century church before the doggone Catholic Church, the Roman Church, took it over. We've got to go back to what Jesus taught us in the Bible. We've got to love one another. We've got to take care of one another. We have to do this. We have to learn how to be Christians again, the right kind of Christians, not the claim it, grab it, blab it, grab it Christians. We don't need all that mess anymore. The United States is on the verge of collapse, and we've got to return to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've got to pray on a regular basis every single day. We have to change this hologram that we live in by prayer. We can do it. The Word says we can do it. We can change everything through prayer. The power of dunamis, dynamite, is released when we pray. We have to pray. The power that you have as a Christian is unbelievable. When you pray, you release scalar waves into the very fabric of space-time. It changes physical reality. That's how it works. I've gone into detail on the Hagman shows talking about this. It's so important that we remain saved, that we remain conscious of what the Word of God is, and that we stay right with God. And when we make a mistake and we screw up, we have to be careful to repent and to do what's right in God's eyes. And if we do all of that, Austin, life's a lot better, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's, amen, man. That was spot on. That definitely was.
Here's a good story. Norway is going to disarm its police force after officers ordered to carry guns for just 1 year. The Independent. Norway has announced that the armament of its police officers, which began in 2014, will cease as soon as possible after it was no longer deemed necessary. A raised threat level saw officers ordered to carry firearms at all times in November 2014, but the measure was described as temporary. Norway's police force has traditionally been trained in the use of weapons in an emergency situation, but firearms were previously locked away in patrol vehicles rather than be carried by officers. Are they kidding me? They just brought in hundreds of thousands of Shiite Sharia law Muslims. Are you joking? Unbelievable.
I really don't know what else they are thinking with that.
I mean, again, it's political correctness. Political correctness. Remember a few years ago, the King of Norway was going against the IMF, and he's going to start selling oil to Russia directly, not using the U.S. dollars. And they had a huge assassination on one of the compounds out there. I think 60 or 70 people and kids were killed. Remember that?
Yep.
From that point on, he dances their dance, and he walks their walk, and he does their step. They say we're going to do the two-step. He does a two-step. We're going to do a trot. We're going to do a trot. Whatever they tell him to do, he does now. Including now, they want to also remember get rid of all currency too. So it's all about control of the Rothschild, Goldman Sachs, giant vampire squid that has its tentacles wrapped around the planet.
Yeah, that's spot on. This one article here I was just reading. This is interesting. Now, the lawyers. In a committee for civil rights under law now have stated that there are now 17 universities that require students to divulge any contact they've had with the police or courts. This is crazy. This is going to more the authoritarian police state. The same thing we've talked about before, the school systems, the universities, they're all building megadatas. They're all building files against you. Everything's collaborating to build one giant case against you. So they understand everything you do, everything you want, everywhere you go, and they'll start actually doing predictive programming. They're already doing it now with media advertisement. That's why you'll click on something on eBay or you'll go here, and all of a sudden something pops up that you looked at a week ago. Oh, you're looking at tires. Oh, here's great deals on this. That's what they're doing now with a lot of this stuff. This is interesting now. The first phase of this initiative seeks information from 17 colleges and universities that now are including inquiries on their applications regarding any contact with the criminal justice system, including arrest that did not lead to any conviction, sealed or expunged offender records, or pardon records. This is crazy. This is only a tip of the iceberg. The 17 institutions on this list are the first wave of a national initiative aimed at reducing the impact of even minor criminal histories on college admission. Give me a break. Now, the one here on the application now to the University of Alabama, and I quote, have you ever received a written or a oral warning not to trespass on public or private property? Are you kidding me right now? So you're telling me you got to put that down if a cop has told you orally you can't you're trespassing on private property? One from Virginia Tech. Have you ever been arrested or convicted of a violation of any local, state, or federal law other than a minor traffic citation? This is insane. And what's crazier is when I flipped the page and I saw the universities that they are. They're all our universities down here. Auburn University, University of Alabama, University of Mobile in Alabama, Florida State University, University of Georgia, Virginia State, Virginia Tech. It's crazy to me. It's really sad, actually. But this is all building a file on everybody. They want to have everything. That's why the healthcare system's building their file. The university systems are building their file. The police mega searches and their vehicle cameras and their vehicle license plate scanners, they're building their file. Then you have the NSA that's doing all the monitoring on the internet and your cell phones. and everything else, they're all collaborating together to build one giant file on every single person. What do you think they built that massive facility for out in Utah? It wasn't for giggles. It wasn't for good looks. They built it because they are taking every single little bit of information they get on everybody, and they're compiling it so they have a giant profile on you. That's what's going on.
It's all part of the AI, Austin, and the artificial intelligence with the quantum computers, which are they're way past quantum computers now anyhow. It's all part of this fallen angel technology that's been on this planet before, and it's all about controlling the holographic reality that we're in. The whole thing about this is this once the AI gets kicked in and it goes full throttle and it's allowed to run the planet the way it wants to, and of course it's controlled by Lucifer and the black magicians, at that point in time, you know, we're going to have the Book of Revelation open up. But see, that's the goal. The goal is for these guys, is to, you know, on the Sabbatean Francus, is they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, so they want to bring him. They want their Messiah to come in, supposedly. But I think it's way beyond that now. I really believe that they completely and totally worship Lucifer, and they believe that he's the good guy, and that's why Isaiah chapter 15 talks about how these guys are laying in hell in chains, and all of a sudden Lucifer shows up. And they go, hey, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be the one who delivers us out of here. I mean, why are you down here? And he's in chains. See, this is what's going to happen, because God's going to have his way with these guys sooner or later. We just find ourselves in the middle of this intergalactic struggle, this intergalactic fight that's been going on for eons of time. And now because of the internet and because of really good authors like Paul McGuire and other people like Steve Quayle and Tom Horn and Chuck Missler, we're starting to understand more of the physics of the reality of this planet. And we're starting to understand that, hey, wait a minute, guys. We don't have to go along with this. We could say no. We could say we're not going to be involved with this. You're not going to mess up my movie. Because remember, out of those different dimensions, we control the holographic emitters that control the movie. That's what they want in charge of. That's what they want control of. They want to make sure they control the physical reality and how things are made. And I go into detail on that in November and December's show on Hagman's broadcast. And I also talked about some of the other shows from last year. So you guys, listen. It's a major deal right now with what's going on in the United States. It's a major deal with how the United States is being just taken to be just, they're sucking every last bit of assets out of the United States, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Look what they've already done to Canada. I mean, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 bucks for a head of cauliflower now in Canada. It's going to get worse and worse and worse as far as buying food, and that's going to come to the United States next. And if it wasn't for the fact that we had Bretton Woods, and if we were not the world reserve currency, and if we did not have the petrodollar, and if these guys couldn't be running this giant Ponzi scheme for the last 80 years, you know, we'd already be in the middle of this stuff. But what they're doing is the Ponzi scheme is not designed to make you and I richer. It's designed to suck every last bit of the assets and enslave and indebt every single person in the United States into their way of thinking. Because remember what the Bible says, the borrower is always servant to the lender, Austin, and that's what they understand, and that's all they know. They want to put us back into a feudal system.
That's exactly what it is. And it's slowly encroaching on all of us. Here's another article I have here. If you go near the Super Bowl, you will be surveilled hard. It's from Wired. And it's interesting here. It says over the next 10 days, over a million people are expected to descend on the San Francisco Bay Area for the festivities. Also that, according to the FBI, 60 different federal, state, and local agencies are working together to coordinate surveillance and security at what is the biggest national security event of the year. All of which means if you're attending the game, or you just happen to be in the general vicinity of any of the events leading to the Super Bowl, you will be watched closely. And
Austin,
it goes on to here to talk about Austin, all the different
Austin,
stuff.
Austin, we're out of time, buddy. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Sorry to cut you off, Austin. But we're going to go to commercial break in a second. Healthmasters.com. Thank you so much for the support. We love you. We appreciate you guys. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. We'll talk about the Super Bowl tomorrow. And we'll also talk about what happens in the Iowa caucus tomorrow.
On Facebook.